It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's Bailey at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Let me do all the thinking for you. Welcome one and all to another edition of the Mark Lloyd Show. Glad you're with us. Happy Saturday. Happy March Madness Tournament. Happy spring football. Happy NFL controversy. I mean, Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric, they're in the house. And guys, it's weird. It's another jam-packed show that we have. There's so much to talk about. But it's also, though, for us that love college sports, it's a great time of year, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. This is where we start idling the engines.
I like that. But so what you're saying, Seminole Bill, is that nobody has the guest celebrity has not come out and said, "Gentlemen, start your engines." Right? This is idling. It's like Thursday and Friday at the Daytona 500.
That's correct.
You know?
Yes.
It's not Sunday.
Right.
I got you. I like that analogy. How's everything going, Seminole Bill?
Hey, we can't complain. We're up. We're having a great time. We're talking sports and some other things. And Terminus is wide awake.
And you know what, Terminus? That's a good thing. I'm glad you're awake for today's show. We have a Walking Dead recap. If anybody doesn't know, that's where Terminus's name kind of came from. I don't know if that's a good or bad name, Terminus, but it sticks. I really like it, though. Do you go by that now when you're just walking around the streets? Does anybody come up to you and say, "Hey, Terminus"?
Actually, I do. Did you hear me?
What now?
I said, "Actually, I do."
Very good. I agree. I think you should. Terminus is a man of few words and a man of few ounces of water, too. We have our water check coming up later on. We have our fitness tip coming up later on. I just mentioned The Walking Dead. We'll recap. Only two episodes left, and I think nobody knows really what's going on, and they're doing a fantastic job writing The Walking Dead scripts once again, and that's why it's, you know, the top show out there. Plus, we are officially, and then we'll get on the sports, but we are officially on the countdown, and I'm pretty sure it's April 15th, April 13th, somewhere right there. We're on the countdown now to Game of Thrones coming back. Am I right, Terminus?
Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones?
Yes, you know, like Regal.
On HBO? The Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones?
You know, he's just messing with you.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm sitting there going, have I lost my mind?
Yeah, you've lost. Terminus never has a mind, so why are we bothering?
You know what? You know what that is, Seminole Bill? It's from a lack of water.
That is exactly what it's right. From. His brain is dehydrated.
Yes, that's right. But you know what we are hydrated with? We're hydrated with March Madness.
Oh, yeah.
And lots of college basketball going on. It all kicked off this past Thursday. Upsets right away happening with Iowa State bailing out, dropping out, losing in one of their opening games. And March Madness goes for, you know, a good another, whatever, 30 days or something. And it's good times. I would say I am a college basketball fan. I wouldn't say I'm a diehard fan. You know, I live and die for college football, but I like college basketball. But you can't help but like March Madness. Am I right, Seminole Bill?
Yeah, I mean, this is really, when you come down to it, this is the pressure cooker, and you know all that stuff that you did during the season is great for show, but now it's like you say in golf, you know, drive for show, putt for dough. So who's going to putt up and jam these things down and come away with the title? Because everyone figures it's going to be, you know, the Wildcats, but we shall see.
That's, you know what, though? That's a good point. I'm trying to think. It's so interesting because it truly is the one bracket sport. You know, there's no other sport that I know of. I won't say the world because I don't know all the world sports, but I guess the World Cup can be kind of considered the same as March Madness, right? Don't you think? You know, that's brackets. You keep on moving through your region to try to get to the final game. And you have regions and everything, and you have teams, and you keep on moving on. So I would say the World Cup is similar to, or March Madness is similar to the World Cup, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing with the World Cup is sometimes, you know, you early on at least, you can take a loss or a tie.
Right.
But it is. I mean, it's can you break out of your quadrant, your region, you know, and get to that next level?
Yeah, it's a bracket-based tournament. And I have to be honest, I truly love that. I love the single-game elimination. I love the fact that as dominant as Kentucky is, it's a one-and-done. I mean, it's great. You said the word a minute ago. It's such a pressure cooker. And you really do see some teams that, even though they might have a really, really good season, they still, though, on the flip side, maybe they're not as good as we thought because they are bowing out and falling to that pressure when everything is on the line. Do you like that atmosphere, Seminoleville?
I think it's one of the great atmospheres. I mean, certain events in sports, whether it be a Super Bowl or you know, a championship game or, you know, what we just saw with the college football playoff, there are certain things, World Series, whatever it might be, there are certain things in sports that just you go, I've got to at least take a look at that. I've got to watch that. I've got to see where that's going. And when you get down to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight and then, you know, the Final Four and the Final Two, I mean, man, you know, at that point in time, it's who really got hot. I mean, you may have been great during the regular season. You may have just crushed people. But if you aren't on your game in the tournament, you can be out really quick because everybody there, you know, for the most part, can bounce somebody. I mean, it'll just go way back to North Carolina State back in Jimmy V's day when they hadn't had a prayer to be in that tournament.
No.
They got through, you know, on the ACC side to get in and then took it all the way to the end. Amazing.
It's all or nothing. Yes, that is true. It's late. You mentioned a team getting hot, Ohio State. College football, right? They got hot at the right time.
Perfect.
They
got
a hot quarterback and a hot team, and next thing you know, they're winning the national championship when
there you go.
Nobody thought that they were going to do that.
Right.
And I was thinking also, is what's interesting about March Madness, it truly does, and it brings the average or the not people that aren't even fans into the mix, and I love that when a sport can do that. And it truly is, Seminoleville. There's only two sports that bring people together, March Madness, and the other event is the Super Bowl. Other than those two events, can you tell me another sport in our country that can bring the person that doesn't really care together to watch certain events?
Yeah, you struck it well when you said our country, because honestly, if you hadn't, I would have, you know, where I would have gone with that. But
yeah.
But realistically, in the U.S., I mean, you know, just like you said, we saw the football, which now is kind of chasing the bracket.
But it's just the Super Bowl, though,
right?
Like my wife might not pay attention to anything. But you'll watch the Super Bowl. At least she'll know it's Super Bowl Sunday and there's an event going on.
Right.
She'll know about March Madness and for kicks, maybe fill out a bracket.
Not going
to watch all the games, just like I don't watch all the games either. I mean, we have lives. We can't just sit in front of the TV every day.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It really, what's really cool is, I think playing off of what you just said too, is that certain – you know, it reminds you of certain sports, certain events in sports, I'll say, are at certain times of the year, and you just, it's like, okay, you know, March. What do you automatically think March Madness. They have logoed and identified that one so good that when you hear March Madness, I mean, you can talk about a sale at one of these, you know, retail stores and it's March Madness, but we know what March Madness really means. It's the basketball, you know, it's NCAA basketball playoffs.
You're absolutely right. Real quick, before we go to break, did you watch the I haven't seen it yet, the Christian Leitner? Because we're talking March Madness, obviously, arguably one of the greatest college basketball players ever is Christian Laettner. I mean, four Final Fours, two national championships. I mean, it's pretty tough to beat his resume when it comes to college basketball. Did you watch the show?
I did not get to see it yet, but what I did pick up on was some of the banter back and forth when he was tweeting, and you know, kind of had a chuckle at when he admitted to stepping on the guy's chest and doing that on purpose, and he actually said, "I'll say it one time, I apologize."
Great. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah. I heard it was awesome, though. I heard it was a really, really good 30 for 30.
Gotta see it. Gotta see it.
And it's amazing, I heard, how much, even his own players, just everybody kind of disliked the guy because he was such a nut about winning, and he just pushed everybody's button constantly.
Pushed him hard.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And that, it's funny because when I'm hearing all that, all the fodder, I was thinking of players that you just dislike.
Oh, boy.
You know, who? Exactly. I love that. Oh, boy. For me, Laettner, whatever. You know, I didn't care one way or the other. But I started thinking. I was like, who did I just dislike?
Oh, gosh. Come on now.
You know,
there's a few.
Yeah, I know. Who comes? Okay, if I mention that,
yeah.
Who's the first player that comes to mind for you? Who do you? And I'm not going to use the word hate. I never think that's a
disliked.
Good word.
Disliked, strongly detested.
Yeah, strongly disliked.
I would say go to Detroit Pistons back in the days of the Michael Jordan and the battles against Rodman. And
for you?
Yeah. Now, come on.
Hang on. Hey, let me guess on the other side of the break, Somerville.
Yeah, please
and
do.
We'll talk about some more players that we strongly dislike. Plus, we'll get into Florida State spring football. All that coming up right here on the Mark Lowe Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
It's me, Mark Lloyd. Okay, fans, Peyton Manning, LeBron James, and Andrew Luck, all number one picks. Now let me tell you who your number one pick should be when it comes to protecting your identity. Hands down, it's Rapid Pro from our great friends at Fraud Protection Network. You hear the stories daily, retailer after retailer, having their so-called secure systems being hacked into by criminals, and thousands of good folks like you instantly becoming victims of identity theft. Our amazing team at Fraud Protection Network has developed the next generation in identity theft protection. Rapid Pro, real-time identity theft protection. You get credit monitoring, lost wallet protection, and positive trigger alerts, change of address, payday cash advance, and public records monitoring as well. It's all there, friends. You get true real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff, award-winning member service support, and $25,000 service guarantee to back you up. Call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Take it from Mark Lloyd. When it comes to identity theft, the number one pick is Rapid Pro from Fraud Protection Network.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us on this fantastic Saturday. Always in an upbeat, good mood here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Glad you're hanging with us. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it, and so does Fraud Protection Network. We appreciate them because they continue to protect our identity with the Rapid Pro Real-Time Identity Theft Protection Program. Give them a call. Let them protect your identity at 855-203-0683, or you can do what Seminole Bill likes to do. He likes to visit their website at
fraudprotectionnetwork.com.
Yes, you do. Okay, before we went to break, we were mentioning Christian Laettner, 30 for 30. Nobody likes him, and we don't want to use the word hate, but who in sports maybe you think, oh, you know what, Mark, I strongly dislike blank. And some of the people before we went to break mentioned the Detroit Pistons, the Bad Boys back in the day. So let me try to name your number one guy, because the whole team nobody liked.
Yeah.
You know, so out of Laimbeer, out of Isaiah Thomas, out of Rick Mahorn, and out of Dennis Rodman, I don't think anybody really cared about Joe Dumars. He was a kind of a nice guy. I would say for you, it was Laimbeer.
You are absolutely correct, sir.
Am I really?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He had a way of getting, let's just put it, he could get your goat stirred up. Just really
he could.
He was the essence of pushing everyone to the limit of a technical.
Yes. I agree. You know, sticking with basketball, I wouldn't say I strongly dislike, but I was not a fan of Larry Bird. I did not like Larry Bird. I knew he was great, but because when I was a kid, my brother, which you know, Seminole Bill, was a Laker fan, so
huge.
I would cheer for the Lakers because, you know, he's older and I'm 7 years old.
And I was right there with you. I liked Magic back in the day. I really did.
Yes. That's somebody on the flip side that we always liked.
Oh, yeah.
I disliked Isaiah Thomas. Never liked Isaiah Thomas. Yep. And from what I understand, nobody liked him. Even no players. You know, nobody was a big fan of his. You know, in recent times, I was not a fan of Michael Irvin. Never been a big fan of his. Definitely, with my brother being a Florida State alumni, could not stand Spurrier. Could not stand Steve Spurrier. And that kind of transitioned into Urban Meyer. Right now, I do not like Urban Meyer at all. But he's probably my least favorite coach out there.
So we're talking now. We've got players and coaches, which is cool.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Nate. Give us two more, Seminole Bill, of some players or coaches that you strongly dislike. And then I want to get on to Florida State spring football.
Oh,
so give me two other players or coaches that you strongly dislike or dislike right now.
Players. Wow. See, you know, and they're – I guess back in the day, and I'm just – this, like you said, the Detroit was a team that had them, and I mean, Dumars was.
Come
one
on,
of them.
You're a Seminole alumni. You're
yeah, well,
telling
I,
me
I can
not...
I can tell you if you want to go Hurricanes, probably.
Well, I'm saying
now,
all here, sports. I don't care, not just NBA. All sports. I chose college football on a few of them. Who do you strongly dislike?
I'll chime in, Michael Vick.
You dislike Michael Vick? Really?
You know what? That is an excellent one. I wouldn't say I dislike him, but then after everything that happened, yeah, I would put him. He's borderline hate for those circumstances. So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
a good one, Terminus.
I mean, you know what's amazing? Back in the day, probably you know there were several U players that really didn't like. Michael Irvin was kind of one of those guys that just. Back then,
no, you're like a politician. It's like you all go specific. You know, back in the day, there were some Hurricane players, and I'm over here going, well, who? Name somebody.
You had Warren Sapp that you just didn't want to see on the field. You had Michael Irvin that just made you look silly.
I never liked Warren Sapp, even when he played for the Bucks.
I liked him more as a pro, obviously, than I did as a college guy. But, I mean, you know, because you're going against
him.
Gator-wise, you know, I could name a few Gators that maybe, you know, you're Spurrier, of course. I mean, that's classic. I mean, how many times do you want to see that guy throw his visor?
Oh, just awesome.
It just made you feel good.
And it's just so funny because the minute Darnell Dockett got traded, it still just pops in my head when he was claiming Darnell Dockett was twisting everybody's ankles on the bottom. I forget what it was called, you know. But they were saying Dockett was twisting ankles and playing dirty on in the bottom of the pile.
Yeah. He was he kind of made you go, come on, Darnell. Now, dang it. I mean, there's tough, and then there's kind of getting a little seedy, you know. But those things go on, man. I mean, you know, you can't tell you. They always tell you, you know, put your protector on, you know, and make sure you got it snug, because I'm going to tell you, underneath the pile, man, it gets rough.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'll tell you, let's transition, Seminole Bill, to Florida State, or a lot of college football teams have opened up spring practice.
Oh, yeah.
And Florida State is no exception. It opened up on Wednesday. And I'll tell you what, spring practice is usually just to work on fundamentals and not necessarily win jobs, but boy, there's some holes to fill. And so let's just run down. I mean, in my looking from the outside in, obviously the quarterback is the number one thing. Everybody thinks Sean McGuire has it wrapped up. And I'm so torn on McGuire. From what I've seen in the time that he's come into the game, I think that by watching enough football, you can be a good judge to a point. And not necessarily on stats, but just watching the guy and saying, you know what, he's got it. He just needs to learn everything. And I'm sorry. I know what little time I've seen of McGuire, he just doesn't look like a Florida State quarterback that he's going to lead you to the promised land. Hopefully, I'm wrong for all the Florida State fans out there, but my initial thing against Clemson, I know it was a big deal and who they're playing, but even in his mop-up duty, he just didn't look like exciting, you know? What's your thoughts? Does he have it wrapped up? From what I'm reading, it's his job to lose that J.J. Castellano, however you pronounce his last name, let's just call him J.J. He seems to be lost, even though he has all the talent, but he doesn't have the knowledge of the playbook yet.
This is going to be interesting, for a lot of reasons. Obviously, you know, you're trying to replace now a legend for FSU in his little time here, but it's a transition process. And normally when you have, you know, a good system in place, you have a quarterback to come in behind the other one, and you kind of know that guy's, okay, he's got some work in. He's, you know, shake off the rust, get in there a few times, and, you know, we can let him, you know, run the car because he knows the offense. So you would hope, at least at this point, that if McGuire does anything, he knows the offense, you know, being out there all that he was, sitting back there watching what was going on, just like Jameis did before him. He's had time to get grasp of the offense. Now, does he have the big arm? Does he have the abilities of Jameis? I mean, you'd be putting a lot of expectations on him to say that.
I think everybody knows that's not going to happen. But right. My question to you, Simmel, is that, I mean, you have a great eye for football. You played the sport and everything. Just your initial thoughts of him, that do you think he could lead Florida State to where they need to be? I know it's early on, and it's kind of silly to ask that question, but what's your initial gut reaction to Sean McGuire?
He reminds me probably of a Thad Busby-type quarterback for us, who in his own right was not a bad quarterback. He just never got the big game under his belt with the rival. He could never seem to take Florida down. And, you know, just looking at Sean, looking at him and watching his man, he's excited. He has the joy for the game. You can tell when he was in there, he enjoyed it. He's got a great smile. You know, the old shucks kind of guy.
Bill,
but listen,
you said enough. That you have no confidence.
Well, that's where I'm going is that I don't know that he has the pedigree that we're going to be used to here at FSU. He reminds you of a quarterback for another team. That you say, oh, there's
but
an
not Florida State.
Yeah, that right. That's what I was getting to, and
yeah, okay.
That's the toughie.
You're going with he has a great smile and he's a nice guy.
It looks like,
and I'm over
right.
here shaking my head.
And that was Thad Busby. You know,
Thad Busby. Well, you're right. He can never win the big game, but boy, he had a
good record here. Had a great record.
He had a good record. Lots of talent. I think that everybody's secretly praying that J.J. turns out to be somebody, or even, you know, DeAndre Johnson or DeAndre Francois, that they could play quarterback. I don't think John Franklin's the quarterback. So that's up in the air for Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to another, let's say on the offensive side of the ball, I think the running back situation is solid, obviously, with Cook, with Pender, with Patrick coming in. I think they're rock solid there. Offensive, wide receivers, I think they're just absolutely loaded. Agree or disagree? I just think they're loaded in the backfield and wide receiver.
Backs are going to be fantastic. Receivers are going to be great. That right there is going to be the converse of what we had really last year in some ways. We're not breaking any receivers. So if McGuire is the guy to start, he's going to have some great targets. He's going to have people getting open. The one question mark, you know, receiver wise, would be your tight end. You know, who replaces our big guy?
Which, you know, you have Saunders, the big kid, the 6'6" kid that everybody seems to be really excited. They think that, you know, he's better than O'Leary, but we'll see if he can play with the passion that O'Leary did, which made him so good, and that's why, you know, he's headed into the NFL. The offensive line, they got to replace three. I think they have three positions locked down. And now they need to find a center and I think a guard. So it seems like they have lots of talent there. I do think that just from what we saw last year, man, that Roderick Johnson just looks like a house someone will build. And that he looks to me, if he continues to grow in the sense of not necessarily height and weight, but as a football player, man, he looks like a top five pick.
Yeah, he's stocked. He is really something.
And McGuire's going to need that. So I think with the redshirt, they redshirted who? Kareem Carey and the other JUCO kid that came in last year, which was great. So they have that going for him, which is good. And for some reason, I just think that the offensive line's going to be okay. I'm not really worried about that. Now, here's where the issues are. You jump to the other side of the ball, right?
Yep.
Lots of talent. Man, we got to take a break already. Okay, when we come back, we got to jump to the defensive side of the ball for spring football for Florida State. Plus, we need to get into the NFL a little bit. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us right here on the Mark Lloyd Show.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's gonna make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
It's me, Mark Lloyd. You know, in football, the quarterback depends on his best offensive lineman to protect his blind side. But let me ask you a question. Who's got your back, huh? Who's protecting your identity? You hear the stories daily. Retailer after retailer having their so-called secure systems being hacked into by criminals and thousands of good folks like you instantly becoming victims of identity theft. So how do you keep from being sacked? Well, now we have our own version of the Steel Curtain. Our amazing team at Fraud Protection Network has developed the next generation in identity theft protection. And it's a beast, baby! Rapid Pro real-time identity theft protection. You get credit monitoring, lost wallet protection, and positive trigger alerts, change of address, payday cash advance, and public records monitoring. It's real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff. Award-winning member service support and a $25,000 service guarantee to back you up. Call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Take it from Mark Lloyd. When it comes to identity theft, you can't afford to lose.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us. We do appreciate it, my good friends. Happy Saturday. And we want to thank also the good folks over at Fraud Protection Network. who protect our identity each and every day, keeping us safe from the bad people out there. Give them a call. Let them protect your identity at 855-203-0683. Or Seminole Bill, who's technology, who's tech savvy. He likes to go to the website, right, Seminole Bill?
Oh, yeah. Just join him at fraudprotectionnetwork.com.
I love that. Tech savvy Seminole Bill. A lot more than I am. All right. Since we're talking about how savvy Seminole Bill is, let's jump to, we'll talk a little FSU spring football that's going on right now. Let's jump to the other side of the ball, defensive side. Where I think that they're rock solid is defensive tackle. I think they're set in there. They have a lot of big boys. Nandi is back. Also, you got Derek Mitchell in the middle. You have Stample in the middle. So they're solid there. Seminole Bill, they need to find a pass rusher. Man, they need to sack the quarterback.
They got to have that this year. We can't count on the other side of the ball to just bail us out every time. We have to be able to put pressure.
Who is that though? Is this Chris Casher finally become somebody? Is DeMarcus Walker? What about Lorenzo Featherston? You know, does he pack on some weight and can he rush the passer? I don't think you just hold your breath and hope Josh Sweat comes back from injury, the five-star kid, and he's a superstar. Yeah. You know, who is that guy, Seminole Bill?
I think, you know, Featherston did show a little promise when he first got out there, and that's what's interesting. He kind of, later on, disappeared. But initially, I remember in the NC State game especially, he was big. You know, he really was putting some pressure on their QB and getting after it. We need that really bad. Man, it's been a long time since we had a bullware type guy on the one side or a.
Well, you know, don't sell. That's funny you mentioned that. He's easy to forget. But Bjorn Warner, or however you say his name, has changed like three times.
True.
He was a true sack artist.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm sorry. I overlooked Bjorn. Bjorn was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, college wise, you couldn't top him.
Now, there's been nobody at the level of an Andre Wadsworth, Bullware, or Renard Wilson. You know what I mean?
Renard Wilson,
those
Greg
guys
Spires,
were absolutely
those type of guys. Yeah.
Dominating.
Manhandling.
And who?
I said Greg Spires was another one. You know, back in the
Greg
day, those
Spires,
guys
yeah,
just really,
in the NFL.
They could really, really, really put the pressure on you. You know, from all angles.
So that's a concern, is they have to be able to rush the passer. They have to be able to sack them without always using your linebacker, too. I know Jacob Pugh, you know, kind of plays that role. I think they call it the jack. It's a linebacker, defensive end spot. So, but you want like somebody out there that the other team is fearing coming off the end because the middle is going to be tied up. All right, now you jump to the secondary. And similar, but my first question to you though is, do they just need to play better football in the secondary with the scheme that they have, or do they need to make some changes? I know Ramsey's already. He's the cornerback now. He's playing where PJ played last year. So he's moving the corner. He's no longer the star position. Is the scheme fine, Kelly's scheme, or do they need to change some things?
You know what? They got to tweak it. Or they've got to get back to some better fundamentals, because it seemed like we had this conversation last year. We had these all-star.
Several times.
Yeah, all-star everything's from the year before under a different, different coach on that side of the ball, at least a head defensive coach. And last year, I really didn't see some of the technique that we're used to seeing. I mean, you know, just a year difference from, you know, being able to get your head back to the ball and knock a ball away versus getting beat, just flat out beat on a, not just because you didn't get your head back to the ball to knock the ball out. Just some basic stuff. And the I would say the meanness factor, how mean
Good
the defense
point.
Plays. They did not play like an angry unit last year. They didn't get to the they didn't come to the ball with a purpose. The year before they got there and they were ticked, and they want
like
to take your head off.
LaMarcus Joyner was the prime example. He played angry even though he was small. But you're right. He showed up and he wanted the football and he was ready to hit you hard.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna tell you right now, pound for pound, one of the hardest. Licker, I would say, one of those guys that just licks you. You know, he nails you every time you get the ball, and you know when you're coming through there, you better have your head on the swivel. You're going to get popped.
Now, they might have one who started off playing the star position where where what a call played last year, Ramsey.
Right.
Trey Marshall's a big boy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
As a true freshman, you know, he's built like a senior. So he's ready to knock somebody's block off. And I like him back there. If he knows how to cover and understands the game, he's going to be a great asset to have in the backfield. You have Ryan Green switching from running back
right.
to defensive back. But you know what's weird? Everybody's so excited, and I keep on hearing that this Derwin James, the true freshman, yeah. is truly just as good as advertised, that people will be shocked if this guy is not, I'll say starting, because they said he's that good. The highest rated safety ever
right.
coming out of high school, going anywhere, not just to Florida State, but ever. And the early impressions are that this guy is just a machine. He's just made to play safety. And he's a three-year guy, brother. 3 years, and he's off to the NFL.
More than likely, you're right. But, hey, we'll take it. If he gets in there and starts delivering right away, then, well, you know, more power to him. You know, he makes his marking and does what he's supposed to do, then that's great for him.
So let me ask you this real quick, and then I want to move on to the NFL and then wrap up spring football. And we'll recap how everything went. On next week's show. But if you could get Ramsey shutting down one corner, one side of that field, I think that's going to do an awful lot for this team, because now they could double up the other receiver, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then if the safety comes along and is able to star position, able to roam free, not have to worry about that one, the other team's best wide receiver, because Ramsey's on him. I think that's going to go a long ways and really – pay dividends early on. Agree or disagree?
That allows your defense time to become a cohesive unit, especially the backfield.
Good point.
They just, you know, and it all works together. I mean, the pass rush, the control the quarterback, control the running game, all that stuff up front. But yes, I think that's big, and I also hope that allows us to shore up the linebacker coverage, because again, last year we got lost.
And this is a disaster.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I don't care what anybody says. So, linebacker, real quick, Samoa, that's right. Northrup coming off an ACL.
Right.
A whole bunch of guys have transferred. Delvin Purifoy coming off a torn pec or whatever he was. He missed the whole year. Something was dislocated. So, at linebacker, you have Smith, right?
Right.
I think Smith.
Yep.
Terrence Smith, who at times looked good, at other times he just looked lost. Terrell Lyons now, I hear, and I mentioned Jacob Pugh. And my question to you, Samoa, is where the hell is Matthew Thomas?
You know what? I hope he finds his way, you know, in the next system, because we need that guy to be there like he's supposed to be. We don't have any depth at that position right now. I mean, it's one sore spot on the defense. So
it's pretty amazing how this guy shows the flashes of brilliance of why he was a five-star kid out of down south, out of Miami. And, you know, he just seems like he's never there. Or you blow on him and he has an injured pec, an injured ankle, an injured knee, an injured shoulder. You know, he seems like he's always injured.
Yes.
All right, let's transition. Speaking of injuries, the guy that never got injured, as far as I remember, is how about in the NFL, Tim Tebow trying to make a comeback for the Eagles? I know we're in similar country. And nobody really likes Tebow because he played for the Gators. But as we're doing this show, as far as I know, Tebow hasn't signed with the Eagles. But, boy, that's fascinating. This guy, for some reason, always captivates the country when it comes to football. He's done nothing in the NFL. He's one of the greatest college sports athletes ever. But he's also one of the worst NFL quarterbacks ever. Yet everybody's always captivated with him.
Well,
why, Seminole Bill?
Well, he did beat my Steelers, you know, in a pretty important game. But
let's be honest, that was pure luck.
Yeah, give the guys due for the game. I mean, you know, every dog has his day. But you know, realistically, no one expected. I mean, unless the diehard Gator fans wanted, and they can cheer for him, and he's a good guy. I mean, he is a good person.
Yeah, he is.
You can't take that away from him. He was a product of a great system that was run by a very intelligent offensive mind when he was there, and they utilized him to the best of their ability, and he did great things. So you don't take that away from him at the college level. You definitely didn't want to see him lined up across from you at the college level. In the NFL, it's you know, he's got such a rah-rah mentality that catches a lot of folks up in his, you know, well, is it all about him being a motivator, or is he really a leader, or is he really, you know, is he a Brady-type QB, which, you know, he hadn't been able to prove that because it didn't transition from the NFL. The throwing motion's different, the timing's all different, the systems are different, and you cannot really line up and just run over people in the NFL like he did in college.
You know, it is one of the fascinating things when it comes to sports, the transition from college to pro.
Huge.
Just college to pro. I mean, as great as Tim Tebow was in college, it just, and as great as some of these players are in college, it just amazes me how when they get to the NFL, it's just a different story. And it's like, my gosh, that guy was amazing. And Tim Tebow is arguably the greatest example of being just so good in college and nothing really in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, because two national championships, you know, this, he was a man amongst boys out there. And then he gets in the NFL, and he's nothing. Which, if you look around at his teammates, you know, Percy Harvin was superstar in college, and he turned out to be, other than he's a head case, but he was a superstar in the NFL, and the same goes for Aaron Hernandez. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, great in college, great in NFL, just made the transition. And Tebow, no. And maybe it's just the quarterback position. It's that hard. Maybe that's what it is.
It is. I mean, you know, we've got examples all around us with that. I mean, you know, it's even back in the Gator days, Danny Werfel, you know, he just had that little hitch in his motion, but Boy, I'm telling you, in college, he could drop the ball right in there and nobody's business. It didn't matter who was on him, you know? But these days, I mean, you got to have a gun. You got to be able to get rid of that ball quickly. You can't have a hiccup in your motion, or you're just meat. You know, all these linebackers can cover people, and so can the defensive backs.
No, and I don't want to – another guy that comes to mind, staying in the state of Florida, was Ken Dorsey. Man,
yeah,
he was
you're
awesome
right.
in college.
Yeah. Yeah,
man,
right.
He could throw the football. I mean, he was really, really good. Not a head case either, yet never did anything in the NFL.
Well,
wow, what happened?
And in our own, I mean, you know, even Christian found a way to win ball games. And we probably, it's interesting, you know, you look at, he got drafted so high and went out there and you know, right things didn't happen for him. And he just maybe was just a little bit, unfortunately, overrated. You know, coming out of here, but great guy, you know, handles himself well on and off the field, respectful, you know, loves the game. Can't fault him for that, but
it's a
difference, man. You know, it's a difference. It's amazing to watch guys in college, like you just said, that were just amazing. And then you get to that next level. Though the guy that really shocked us, I think coming out, you will probably agree, Russell Wilson, you know, he was, people probably wondered, was Russell going to be able to do what he did with the issues of height and everything? But man, look at Russell do his thing. So it can't happen.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It can happen.
There's a lot of stories on both sides, right, guys? That we never thought would do anything, turn out to be great, better pros than they were in college, or guys that you didn't think would make it into the pros, even though they were great in college, and they ended up making it. It's just, it's just a different level, no doubt about that. All right, when we come back, I heard Terminus Eric had an eventful weekend. We'll get into that, plus our water check, our fitness tip, and a Walking Dead recap. All that coming up right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
It's me, Mark Lloyd. Okay, fans, Peyton Manning, LeBron James, and Andrew Luck, all number one picks. Now let me tell you who your number one pick should be when it comes to protecting your identity. Hands down, it's Rapid Pro from our great friends at Fraud Protection Network. You hear the stories daily, retailer after retailer, having their so-called secure systems being hacked into by criminals, and thousands of good folks like you instantly becoming victims of identity theft. Our amazing team at Fraud Protection Network has developed the next generation in identity theft protection. Rapid Pro, real-time identity theft protection. You get credit monitoring, lost wallet protection, and positive trigger alerts, change of address, payday cash advance, and public records monitoring as well. It's all there, friends. You get true real-time alerting, no secondhand stuff, award-winning member service support, and $25,000 service guarantee to back you up. Call Fraud Protection Network at 855-203-0683 or visit their website at fraudprotectionnetwork.com. Take it from Mark Lloyd. When it comes to identity theft, the number one pick is Rapid Pro from Fraud Protection Network.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
Have something to add to the show, it better be as interesting as Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. I do really, really like that music. It just means good things are happening each and every Sunday night at 9 o'clock. And that's The Walking Dead. We have a recap of last week's episode coming up, and then we'll look ahead to tomorrow's episode. So we have that going for us in just a little bit. We now have our water check, which is going to segue into Terminus Eric's eventful weekend, but before we get to his story about how his life was on the line, from what I'm hearing, let's do our water check real quick. Hit it. All right. And you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm like just 100% focused. So I'm at 73 ounces of water. I know nobody's close to me. Possibly you guys are close to me. But I'm back on track. Had a couple shaky days, but I am back on track and ready to roll. So I'm at that. What are you at, Seminoleville?
Minus 10 of you. I'm at 63.
63. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong.
Quite low.
Well, but Terminus Eric, and Terminus Eric, who was on a roll for a little while, kind of fell off the water wagon the other week and seems to be going downhill real fast. Terminus, what are you at today?
I am at, ready?
Yeah.
55.
55?
Yeah.
55.
All right. Now, are you at 55 ounces because of the motivation that Seminoleville and myself give you? Or are you at 55 because of something that happened over the week? And now shed some light on this life-threatening situation.
Well, I went kayaking this weekend, and
which is always good fun.
It was fun. It was a good workout. You know, everything was great. Got home, you know, took a shower. You know, everything was good. Wake up the next morning, and I'm dying. Just straight dying. Turns out I probably got dehydrated. I probably got sun poisoning, something.
So you didn't drink any water?
I did, but I definitely didn't drink enough.
How long were you kayaking for?
Believe it or not, I was probably out there for only about 3 hours max.
Well, no, hang on. That's a long time, brother. Kayaking on the water with the sun beating down on you. What day was it, Saturday or Sunday?
It was on Sunday. So it was a little cloudy.
So it was was it a nice day out where you were?
It was overcast.
It was overcast, a little cloudy.
He didn't realize he still didn't understand overcast is still very dangerous, sometimes more dangerous than when it's, you know, just regular sunshine.
True. No, yeah. That's a good point. So you woke up. What is that like? Is your head pounding?
Oh man, I was dizzy. I was confused. You name it.
Confused is nothing new, but
all from kayaking. Okay, lesson learned, right?
Oh yeah, I've been drinking Gatorade, water. You name it.
Okay, we'll take it. Good. You know what? Some of us hoping I'd hear lesson learned. Yes, not. Well, you know. That's good. I'm glad you learned your lesson. And here's another lesson to learn. You guys ready for the fitness tip before we get to our Walking Dead?
Yeah, let's hear the tip.
Well, you were out there for 3 hours, so that's kind of endurance. So when it comes to training for endurance, how about this? You'll need to be hydrated.
Ah, there you go.
And be sure you're eating properly.
Yeah, that would help.
Because by its very nature, this form of training is very, ready, another key word, demanding on your body, Terminus Eric.
Preach on, sir.
So it's not, if you know you're going to go kayaking on Sunday for 3 hours, which is a long time. So you got to make sure, you know, Friday you're drinking some water. Saturday you're drinking your water. So by the time Sunday comes, and this is your technically your endurance event, you're hydrated. Not Sunday morning, let me drink a bottle of water and I should be fine.
Oh, that's
because if the sun's out or overcast skies, you need to make sure that you're completely hydrated, and that starts 2 or 3 days in advance. Boom. How about that for a timely fitness tip?
That was right on the mark.
That was perfect.
That was. Now, speaking of timely, we're about, I would say about, 30 hours away from the next episode of The Walking Dead, the second to the last episode. This past week, it's why the show's so good, right? Because they kill off characters that maybe you like. And so they whack Noah. And what? And it was the most gruesome killing ever, was it not?
That was,
yeah, I think it was the most gruesome for one of our main characters. Or
yes. I mean, the hand ripping his face and his eye, and I won't get into too many details. But it was a pretty gruesome kill. And to top it off, it was all because of that one guy's fault. I can't remember his name. But he's obviously still alive. The question was did they kill him? But no, because Eugene was holding a gun on him when they were driving back in the van, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So now, out of that, so Noah dies, and also the lady that runs Alexandria, her son died. He got impaled, correct?
Yeah, Aiden.
Which I think what they did throughout the whole episode is they set us up. They're setting us up for saying that this place is weak. You know, they said it numerous times, and they've done it over this episode and a few episodes past. So something's coming.
Yeah,
they're letting us know that they're weak and that Rick's crew is strong. But the question I have is that are they saying that because they're setting us up for a Rick's crew versus their crew, or are they setting us up for their weak? Thank goodness Rick's crew's there because there's a gang coming from the outside to attack Alexandria. Thought.
First and foremost, man, the priest turned on everybody.
Oh, what a scumbag.
Yeah, and see, and that to me, again, now, I mean, she was already telling the girl sitting there with her before that I keep putting your people in positions of power, you know? She was relaying that message, and the other one said, well, you know, there's a reason for it. And then you got that guy. Fortunately, she heard that. I don't know, you know, he looked so crazy in his delivery of that. Maybe she didn't take that completely to heart, but yeah, I think they are setting something up. What about you, Terminus?
Just based off of the preview to the next episode, I mean, it seems like it's going to be definitely an interesting next episode. I don't know if you want me to go into details of what I saw in the preview or...
Well, hang on. You saw this in a preview, right?
Yeah. The thing that they show at the
end. Yeah, I saw the preview too, so go on. What do you think then?
It looked like I saw 4 graves, and if I think about it correctly... I know Tara is definitely seriously injured.
They didn't take Noah back.
Noah. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but they didn't take him back. So you can't count him as part of the grave.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just off the top of my head. I got Noah, Tara, Pete, if Rick decides to kill him, and Aiden. So that's 4.
Yeah,
no, that's true. What about Sonya? Who is she shooting?
I did not see that part.
You didn't see the preview? It's in the preview. It looks like she's shooting that girl that's always out in the woods, that running around and escaping. That's what it looks like.
Oh,
there's no way she's shooting that person.
No, you know what? I didn't see that part either.
I don't know. I didn't see that part. I must have
missed
that.
Yeah, that's in the preview, too. It shows her. You guys, I might have seen a different preview, too, because I saw one yesterday or you know, the day before that was different. I was like, wow, I've never seen that preview before. I saw the one that they play like on The Talking Dead or right after, you know, the show is over with,
right,
you know, for next week, all that stuff. So that's interesting. It also shows the lady burning something, and she has a gun, the lady that runs the place, Deanna, you know. So something's coming there. Does Rick end up killing that lady's husband because he's beating him? Remember.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Carol brought up that too.
He already has a thing for her.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, hey, next week, I can't wait, man. We're going to recap spring football, but not just Florida State, but also some of the other spring news coming out of college football. We'll be another week into March Madness, plus we'll be almost at the Walking Dead finale. All that coming up next week right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. So for Terminus Eric and Simba the Bill, I'm Mark Lloyd. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll talk to you next week.